This podcast is a production of the Pacific Legal Foundation, America's leading legal watchdog organization litigating for limited government, private property rights, and free enterprise.
Hi, this is Harold Johnson with the Pacific Legal Foundation podcast, and we're here today to talk about a really outrageous case of local government abuse against a small business and its property rights. Martin County in Florida is stubbornly refusing to live with its own mistakes and is trying to scapegoat PLF's clients, the husband and wife owners of Flash Beach Grill in Hobbs Sound, trying to scapegoat them for the county's failure to follow the law that requires the recording of easements or property restrictions. PLF is representing the owners, Robert and Anita Brennig, in a lawsuit to stop the county from imposing a decades-old so-called conservation easement on their property, an easement they knew nothing about because the county never bothered to record it. As part of its enforcement crusade for this previously secret easement, the county is threatening the Brennigs with massive fines, up to $1,000 per day, that could cripple or kill their business. Here to discuss the case is Mark Miller, the managing attorney with PLF's Atlantic Center in Palm Beach Gardens, and PLF attorney Christina Martin, also with the Atlantic Center, and our clients Robert and Anita Brennig. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Let's start with Mark setting the background for this case. Mark, could you summarize the facts and the legal questions that are raised here?
Sure. Thank you, Harold. The Flash Beach Grill is a nice restaurant in Hobbs Sound, Florida, in Martin County, South Central Florida, on the East Coast. The Brennigs, Robert and Anita, bought their restaurant in 2011. At the time, they owned a catering business and a smaller restaurant, and they were moving up into this larger restaurant because they wanted to have a larger clientele, and it had the amount of land available so that they could expand the restaurant. A year later, when they approached the county about doing just that, they asked to expand the restaurant, and specifically they asked for a liquor license along the way to expanding. The county turned around and said, well, not only are we going to make your life difficult, but in fact, we're not going to let you expand the restaurant. And they said, why not? And the county said, because 25 years ago, or almost 25 years ago, a former landowner of that same site had agreed that a portion of the property would be set aside as a conservation easement. In other words, set aside for the environment, just a small part, but enough that our clients could not do anything with the property other than maintain the restaurant that was already on site. The Brennigs, of course, would never have bought the property if they knew about that restriction and told the county that why wasn't this restriction recorded? Because, in fact, it had never been recorded either by the property owner or by the county. And the county said, well, we didn't record it. We didn't have to record it. And too bad, you're beholden to what that property owner said 20-plus years ago. And the Brennigs said, well, we don't think that's fair. And the county said, tough.
Mark, you say it's a former property owner who entered into an agreement with the county with this easement. It's actually several property owners back in the chain of title. Isn't that correct?
That's exactly right. It's at least three property owners back in the chain of title, and nobody had told the Brennigs about this. Of course, when the Brennigs bought the property, they did all their due diligence. They had a title check done. They obtained title insurance. There was no evidence that there was any sort of restriction or easement on the property, and so they went ahead with the purchase. And they'd actually checked out the site as well, and then later had a survey done, and there was no evidence of any sort of restriction. But nevertheless, the county said, you are required to accept what this property owner, several steps back, had agreed to.
Well, the county's talking about requirements, and yet doesn't the law make some requirements on the county that they haven't lived up to here?
Harold, that's exactly right. Florida law is very clear that any sort of restriction on a piece of property like an easement or a environmental set-aside like we have here has to be recorded to be enforceable against a future property owner. And here the county is basically trying to say that, well, because we're the government, there's an exception in the law. Of course, there is no exception in the law. but the county doesn't care. It thinks it's entitled to that exception, and it's forcing the Brennigs to go to court to enforce Florida law against the government.
Robert Brennig, how does it feel to be blindsided this way by your own local government?
It's very distracting from what we would hope would be the daily goings-on of trying to run a small business economy.
And frustrating, I would think, because if anybody is supposed to obey the law as a initial threshold matter, you would think it would be the folks who are tasked with enforcing the law, the county.
You would hope the people that were elected into these offices would have your best judgment at heart, but it doesn't seem to be the case.
Now, this is more than just an academic issue of property rights in the abstract for you. As I understand it, we're talking about the very, you know, viability and future of your business. Not only are they threatening you with major fines by prohibiting you from expanding, they're threatening the future of your business.
Absolutely. If you look at the history of the property, we feel that the property hasn't been able to succeed over the 20-plus years because it's the same business footprint it was at the onset. And our business plan was to take this particular building and be able to move it into the 21st century by expanding and adding spirits. We were hoping to put a farm-to-table approach to the cost in the menu and help to offset everything that's increasing in cost. It's hard to just raise the price every time you have an increase. The only way to rightfully do that is to cut your cost by finding creative ways to limit your exposure to the increase instead of just raising your menu price.
Well, mentioning exposure, you're right now exposed to some really frightening fines. How does that make you feel?
Well, we've already spent a number of dollars in the quest to try to have this thing removed. In addition, there's been lots of lost business because you can't focus on what you should be doing the height of the season when you should be chasing around and gathering catering dollars. You're going to the county commission meetings and making an application and spending time, quite frankly, money you don't have. None of it seems fair.
And you talk about what sounds like a very well-thought-out business plan. Apparently that included going through, as Mark put it, all the due diligence that a property purchaser is expected to go through. I mean, this was not something that you missed inadvertently.
Correct. And it's not that we've bought commercial properties before, but we did understand the most basic of purchasing anything, which would be a title clearance insurance policy, the most current survey. If there are any encumbrances that we would need to consider, we understood there was a right-of-way issue on the front of the property because it's on a main thoroughfare, but the rest of it clears for all intents and purposes. We thought we would be able to do what we needed to do as we were able to grow our business, use the land around the business. That's why we bought a piece of property that's freestanding.
Anita Brennig, as a small business entrepreneur, is it intimidating to have the government, a county government, but still a big government enterprise compared to what you guys are, to come down on you like this?
Yes, it's very intimidating. We've worked long, hard hours, 35 years for me, to get to this point of living the American dream and owning your own business property. So you lose all the bosses, the landlords, the people that can restrict what you do. We worked hard to purchase this property. And to find out now, our new boss is the government, that they're strong-arming us and telling us that we have to give up part of our property. It's just not fair. It's like David versus Goliath, and we really appreciate Pacific Legal Foundation stepping up to help us.
Can you tell me something about the history of your business? I mean, how it all got started and the vision that you guys have carried forward?
Well, I met my husband, Robert, and he's an excellent chef. And I've been in the restaurant business all of my life, 35 years. It just sort of happened naturally that we would fall into business and love together. We built the restaurant. We built a community bond with everyone. We support the local charities. Basically, it's a way of life. It's not a business. It's just a way of life for us. And we appreciate the opportunity to be able to offer something to the community, and we just want to live the American dream, and be able to be happy. We love our job. We love work, which is very hard to find these days, and we would like to continue business in Hope Sound, and we would like the property that we purchased to be at our use for our farm-to-table approach to cut our food costs. And to be able to grow some citrus, herbs, and vegetables on the piece of property that they're trying to restrict us from.
It sounds like you've really built a place for yourself in the community as a business that has a real constituency and is becoming quite popular.
Yes, the community has come together around us. They've basically encouraged us to pursue this action. Without the community, we probably would have thrown up our arms and walked away, but the people are propping us up, and they want us to succeed in this and be successful and stay in their community.
Christina Martin, there are principles and issues here that transcend the future of the Flash Beach Grill. I mean, as important as that is, this case raises very important property rights issues for all property owners. Isn't that correct?
That's right. And in Martin County alone, there's actually at least 1,000 individual property owners who have similar environmental restrictions on their property that may or may not have been recorded, because we know that Martin County was not recording these kinds of restrictions back in 1990. And now they do. But in the meantime, you know, it's unknown how many other property owners have similar restrictions on their land. And so we think this is really important to stand up against the government and say, you can't break the rules and blame it on somebody else. You can't scapegoat the Brunnigs. You can't stop them from being able to use their land in a reasonable manner. And so, yeah, this is a much bigger issue than just the Brunnigs.
Robert, how do you feel about working with a property rights organization like PLF?
I could tell you that my wife had said that it's a godsend. For us, we would have not been able to go anywhere if court recommendations, the attention to detail, the things that make you feel like you have an opportunity for help, was this perception that the government's so all-knowing and so charged. It couldn't be further from the truth. They came into this by chance, and my wife and I, we have a great faith. There had to be a reason for it, and we do believe in rolling with what comes our way. And for those guys to hear and see that piece on the news, reach out to us. I thought this is supposed to be happening, and quite frankly, it's for all the right reasons. Very efficient, very available. Great to know that there's still people that believe in helping the little guys.
Christina, you know, it seems like the county has totally been unreasonable in the way it's dealt with the Brunnigs in this case. I mean, inflexible, unwilling to work things out, and the size of the fines makes that inflexibility really outrageous.
Yeah, that's right, Harold. You know, they came to the Brunnigs and told them that they were in violation of the secret easement, but they made it sound like the Brunnigs really had no choice but to comply, and they were threatening fines of, you know, up to $1,000 per day if they didn't give in. And the Brunnigs really tried to work with them. They went to the county and, you know, sought different options. They even applied to the county commission to see if they would just remove these restrictions. And the county commission just denied the request and, you know, have recently restarted their threats against the Brunnigs. So, you know, they've really been inflexible, and in spite of the Brunnigs, you know, best attempts to really reason with them.
So, Mark Miller, do you have any final comments about this case and how it fits into PLF's historic mission for property rights and to hold government accountable to the law?
This case really is the perfect or quintessential example of what Pacific Legal Foundation was meant to do when it was started over 40 years ago. We're supposed to be here to stand as the nation's century for freedom, standing up for the sacred and inalienable rights for life, liberty, and private property. And most importantly, that people never surrender or compromise those rights through arbitrary government actions. And here, the government is trying to arbitrarily take away the Brunnigs' property simply because 20 years ago or so, they think they had an agreement with someone that they never recorded. I can think of few cases that are better examples of what PLF should be doing than this one and helping the Brennigs. And I know Christine and I are proud to be part of the team at Pacific Legal supporting the Brennigs as we make sure the government has to stand down and it's trying to limit the Brennigs' use of their property.
Right, and this also is very consistent with the property rights mission that the Atlantic Center, PLF's Florida office, has had from the very beginning of our locating there.
That's exactly right. We have been litigating property rights cases here in Florida for close to 20 years. And, in fact, our most recent success at the United States Supreme Court was another property rights and case out of Orlando, of course, in Koontz, where Paul Beard went to the U.S. Supreme Court and represented our client, Coy Koontz, making sure that he was allowed to develop his property without illegal constraints put in place by the St. John's River Water Management District. Here, we have a different situation, but at the end of the day, it's really the same principle. Let us use our property as we're entitled to under the U.S. Constitution.
Right, and make sure that the government regulators have to abide by the Constitution, and in this case, by the statutes that govern everybody else in real estate transactions and in property dealings, correct?
Exactly right, Harold.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and good luck as this case goes forward. Filed in Florida State Circuit Court, the case is Flash Beach Grill versus Martin County. More information, including the complaint, a video, and other information may be found at PLF's website, pacificlegal.org. Indeed, listeners can learn more about all of PLF's litigation at our website. You can also donate there securely. And of course, we're nonprofit, donor-supported, so your donations are tax-deductible up to the limits allowed by law. And those donations allow us to defend all our clients free of charge, as with the Brannigs. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, our gratitude goes out to all our listeners. Thank you for joining us. Please keep tuning in and please keep supporting PLF so PLF can keep rescuing liberty from coast to coast.
Please visit us on the web at pacificlegal.org to see how you can help our cause in fighting for freedom. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook for upcoming shows and guests for future podcasts.